Welcome back to Insights from Sight Loss Friendly Church with Matthew Horsball and Lynn Davis. Coming up this time, how do I encourage a person with sight loss to take an active role in the church?
Yes, and this is something we will be talking about soon because our next Focus On session is going to be all about that. Now, for those of you who are not aware of what Focus On sessions are, they are monthly 1 hour long webinars that talk about different things to do with sight loss. So, for example, we recently had one on guiding, one on pastoral care, and one on technology. So this one is going to be all about how to encourage people with sight loss to take a leadership role, or a more active role at least, in the church.
Yeah, brilliant. And it's only available to registered sight loss friendly churches. So if you're looking for an excuse to sign your church up as a sight loss friendly church, then do go over to torchtrust.org and look for sight loss friendly church and sign up. It is free of charge. It's just very helpful from a statistics point of view to have churches signed up, and then we can offer them things and we can justify our funding and all of that sort of thing that we have to do as a charity. But it's an interesting question to ask, even if there isn't a Focus On session coming up, isn't there? Because certainly in my experience of church, I walk into church and somebody says, oh, yes, well, yes, I mean, we'll look after you. And saying, oh, we'll look after you, just doesn't feel quite right. I mean, that's what you'd say to a child. And I don't feel like I am a child. I mean, I've just had my 30th birthday, so I'm definitely not a child. I don't want to be looked after. I mean, for sure, I want to be welcomed. And I want, you know, if there's something that I need in an alternative format, or, you know, a bit of help, obviously, I want that help. But I don't want to be looked after.
Yeah, that's a very unfortunate choice of words, isn't it? And it certainly does sound a bit infantilizing, but the truth is that somebody with sight loss definitely have the same leading capability as anyone else. I know that both of us are playing active roles in our church. Well, you are in a cathedral, but you are a chorister.
That's right. I'm actually a choral clerk, if we wanted to be very correct about it. But yes, I sing in the choir in the cathedral, the choristers of the children. And so I'm one of the adults that sings tenor. And it's wonderful to be able to do that. I've also, in a previous life, been a church organist in a parish church. And I've done things that have involved being on rotas, you know. So I've led the prayers and I've read the reading and done various other odd jobs around the church like that. I even looked after the sound system once or twice when it was on its last legs. So there's definitely jobs that people with sight loss can do, whether they're jobs at the front or jobs at the back or somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, so I too have experience of this. And I am also another testament to the fact that what you are saying is absolutely right. So I am one of the worship leaders in my current church. I find that that has been very fulfilling for me to lead the worship and to also then sort of plan the service, if you will, because the person who leads the worship in my church is also responsible for how the service is going to run. So the only thing I am not responsible for when I lead is to write the talk for that day, but I am responsible for everything else. And in my church in London, where I was previously, I was in the worship team and I was also a cell group leader and I led a home Bible study. In my current church, I do also do Bible readings. It's something that I haven't felt confident enough to do before. But now that I am in a church where I know everybody and also I have nailed down how to do readings a lot better than what I used to be able to do, that is something I'm very happy to do. So there definitely are quite a lot of things that people with sight loss can get involved in. And both of us are completely blind. So really, there is no excuse. Of course, it is important that the person wants to do something. And that usually happens in a church setting where somebody has been for a while. So I started worship leading after having been in my church for about 2.5 years. Oh, and actually before that as well, I was doing Sunday school singing with the children. So that was before COVID. So so that happened pretty quickly. But the actual leading of the service and the worship happened after 2.5 years. Same with the readings, I would say. Because when you take a more active role in a church, you tend to do so because you know the church very well and they know you and they know what you're capable of. And I was going to say, you know what they are capable of in terms of support.
Yes, absolutely. The cathedral was an interesting case because of the way cathedral choirs work. You've generally got very limited places in a cathedral choir because the busyness of the schedule means that there is a certain level of payment that it attracts. Not a particularly high level of payment, but you know, nonetheless, if it's a job, then you've only got certain vacancies and then you have to audition for those vacancies and then you either get in or you don't. So actually, in the cathedral context, the first thing I did was sing in the choir. I came in as a choir person and then decided that I enjoyed being part of the cathedral community and so got involved elsewhere. But in every other church that I've been in, you're right, you tend to go to the church first, or at least I do, go to the church as anybody would, I think, you know, just as a member of the congregation, you're looking for a church, you're looking to worship, and then you realise that a job needs doing. And so in my case, this would happen because I would listen to the choir and I would think, actually, no, they sound they could do with an extra tenor. Or I would hear the sound system and I go, goodness me, there's a lot of feedback here. I think I might be able to help. Or I would realise that the same people are reading over and over again and think, yes, well, maybe I ought to ask if there's space. Or sometimes they would just announce in the notices, we're looking for people to do such and such a job. And then it all links back to coffee time, doesn't it? Because this is one of the few times when in coffee time, when somebody says, who do you want to sit with? I can say, well, actually, I don't necessarily need to sit with him, but I do need to have a chat with Keith, who's in charge of the reader's rota, because I need to know if he wants someone else to be on it. Or I need to talk to Ian, who's in charge of the sound system. And I've generally found, actually, that churches are quite responsive, that the congregation in general might be a bit baffled that I want to help out with the sound system or help out with the readings. But the people who actually look after the rota or who actually are responsible for it tend to be okay. And once you're on the rota, of course, and you've done one or two things, then the rest of the congregation start to realise that you can do more.
Yes, I actually find that as well. And also in the previous church that I was in London, we did have an audition to get into the worship team. We didn't have a level of payment or anything, but the musicians needed to be of a certain level. And that was easy because I just went to the worship leader and I auditioned and I was accepted into it. There was no announcement in the congregation, or I didn't need to find anyone in the congregation to find the person, because they were so big and organised that it was easy to just contact the worship team directly. But yeah, I find the same thing as well, that the congregation get really baffled. Very few were baffled about me leading the worship because we are a small church and you can hear pretty much everyone sing. And when somebody does stand out in a good or a bad way, it is easy to hear it. And I think people had realised that I was a musician and I was likely to join the worship team. But when I was doing the reading, I can't count all the people that came up to me afterwards and said, oh, you were so good at doing that reading. I'm well impressed. Yes. And, you know, and the pastor did say something like, he said, oh, so now we see how well technology works, because I have never seen anyone do a reading like that. I wasn't doing my reading in Braille because I didn't have the option of Brailing it, which would have been my preferred format. I listened to the speech on my phone using headphones and I repeated back what the voice said. And if you're good at doing that, you can read very fluently and people don't actually realise that that's what you're doing. So that's what I was doing. Because having a child who wants to be read for at night, I had to develop that skill and become very good at it. So that that did definitely baffle people, and I did get a small comment on it in the service, but that was nothing compared to all the people that came up to me afterwards. And of course, I've been asked to do Bible readings since, because now people know that I can do it. But I think there is a sense as well, isn't there, of not necessarily thinking that people with sight loss can do stuff in the church. Or certainly if church leaders think that they can do something, that there are only certain things that they can do. And that is definitely not the case. Because as we've been discussing on the podcast before, sight loss means anything that can't be corrected by glasses. So you can actually have sight loss and see quite a bit. And that means that you can do things that would be difficult for me as a blind person. I would never join the refreshment team. I could do the dishes after tea and coffee, of course, but I wouldn't feel comfortable serving people tea and coffee just because it is very chaotic, or it can become very chaotic. While somebody who can see quite a bit might not have any problems with that and be very comfortable doing that, but they would not maybe lead the worship or do a Bible reading.
Yes, I can relate to that, actually. And I mean, even things like washing the dishes, actually, that's definitely something that I can do. And it's definitely something that people wouldn't think to ask me to do. And it's something that I wouldn't think to volunteer to do it, not because I don't think I can do it, but because I can already hear what people would start to say. You know, if I said, oh, don't worry, I can do the washing. Oh, no, don't worry about that. No, it's fine. Well, but someone else can do the washing up. And of course, what they mean is, yeah, but we can't guarantee that you'll get the dishes clean. And you just think, yes, well, yeah, but they're not that dirty. So it will be fine, honestly. And I can probably do it quicker than you can because I'm doing it by feel. So, yeah, I can definitely relate to that. And I can definitely relate to things start off very small. You were saying about singing. And yeah, so people heard you sing and they thought that you could be part of the worship team, but did they actually think that you could run the worship team, or were they just thinking, oh well, yes, well, she's got a nice voice, so she can sing, and the person next to her obviously is going to give her a lot of help to make it work, but wouldn't it be wonderful to have her involved, you know? And short Bible readings, the first one I was ever given was a really short one. They said, it'd be lovely to have you read. Yeah, we'll give you a nice short one, don't worry. And I did the short ones so well that actually by the end of it, they used to give me the really long ones that nobody else wanted to do because I was the best one at doing them.
Yeah, so when it came to the worship leading, I have been very lucky with my church leadership in that they are very forward-thinking people. So just to give you an example, my church runs this greengrocer, which has a lot of fruit and vegetables and health foods and beauty products and all of that. And I wanted to volunteer in the shop because I wasn't working at the time. And blind people in shops, people think they don't go very well together because how do you do things like put prices on things? And one of the leaders in the church, bless her, she said to me, I have no idea how this is going to work, but we are going to try it and we are going to see if it works. And if it does, brilliant. And if it doesn't, we have all learned a lesson. That is sort of the attitude that I've been met with throughout my membership in this church, because they have seen me do things and they know that I'm capable, and they will say to me, well, I'm not sure how you do it, but can we just try? And then you just tell me what you need from me. So me starting to lead the worship happened during COVID and when we were slowly getting back to church, but we could only be two or three singers at the front. And then I was almost always one of the singers at the front. And one day my pastor just sent me an email and said, well, why don't you just do the whole worship leading this time? And I was really ready for it, and I thought it was a great challenge. And the same thing happened with the Bible reading. I was given a relatively short Bible reading, which I was happy about because it was a bit unnerving to stand in front of the church and do the whole reading thing from the phone, even though I knew I could do it. But now that I know that I can do it, I know that they will eventually start to give me longer readings as well. So yeah, I was approached by the leadership having confidence in me, apart from the shop which I approached them with. But I think that is what I would say to other churches as well. Like, you know the capability of your members and what they're good at, and feel free to approach them. If they don't approach you and say that they want to lead something or do something, maybe approach them, because it might be a case where that people are too shy and maybe they think, well, I've got sight loss, I can't possibly do this. Because there is that as well. And not that they can't possibly do it, but the attitude might be there from other people that they can't possibly do it, so therefore they don't want to ask. So I think it's a good thing to approach people and say, well, we've noticed that you're really good at reading, or you're really good at singing, or you're really good at welcoming people, so we'd love you to be on the welcome team. So by all means, ask people, because they will be flattered by being asked. I can say that with confidence, because I was flattered that they saw me as somebody who could just go in and contribute. I don't know if I should be sad about the fact that I felt flattered, but I think unfortunately, society is such that we have experienced so many people questioning our abilities that when people don't question them and just say that, well, you can confidently do this, just ask me for what you need. So yes or no, then that is a certain kind of flattery.
Yes, I would agree with that. And I would also say if you can put a date on it, that can also be quite helpful because it then gives you, you know, the person with sight loss a bit of impetus to actually go away and think about it and come back with an answer relatively quickly rather than just sort of mulling over it for ages and ages and ages. You know, would you like to read the reading is brilliant, but it's even better if you can say, look, would you be interested in reading the reading? And if so, would you happen to be free on the 10th of July? Because there's quite a lot of people on holiday that week, and I'm sure we will be able to find someone, but it would be really helpful if you'd be able to do it, because then they've got a deadline and then they can go, right, okay, yes, well, that's fine. And also, if the person with sight loss is a bit nervous, the 10th of July is one service, and so they can read it on the 10th of July without any fear of a longer term commitment. You know, if it goes terribly wrong, well, they've done the 10th of July, but at least they don't have to do another one.
Exactly. And also when they have the particular date, they can also practice the reading. That's what I did. I practiced reading the passage that I was going to read, and that really helped me feel calm when I was doing it.
Yes, absolutely. That is the one thing that I really do struggle with, actually, is would you be able to read the reading today because so-and-so is not well? Well, I do read from Braille and I don't have the equipment with me. I mean, I have the equipment, but I don't bring it to church to be able to read, you know, with headphones on. I don't routinely bring headphones to church. So if somebody turns up on a Sunday morning and says, look, would you do the reading with 5 minutes notice? I'm afraid the answer's no. I do need at least a day or two's notice just so I can get the Braille sorted out.
Yes, I would agree with that on my part. Even if I do have the headphones in church, it depends on how long the reading is. If it's a couple of verses, then yes, I will be able to do it. But if it's a longer reading, I would not be able to do it.
Well, I think that's probably all we've got time for in this episode of Insights, but much more of this coming up at the Focus On session on the 6th of June at 1:30. If you can't come to that Focus On session, it will be recorded and made available on our YouTube channel. And if you're not registered as a sight loss friendly church, then please do register as a sight loss friendly church, and that will entitle you to attend this Focus On session and all of the other Focus On sessions that are coming up. Everything is completely free of charge, and you can find information on our website at torchtrust.org. If you've got any comments about this podcast or other questions about Sight Loss Friendly Church, as well as the website, you can, of course, email us at slfc@torchtrust.org. That's SLFC for Sight Loss Friendly Church. Or you can give us a call on 01858 438 260. For now, though, from myself, Matthew Horsepaugh, and Lynn Davis, thanks very much for listening, and we'll see you again next time. Bye for now.